Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining us for the Monday morning webcast. It's January the 4th, 2010, as we begin the first week of the new year. Thank you for coming to Los Angeles, California, visiting me here early in the morning in the Lucy Coleman studio. God bless you. Welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast, which is the biblical alternative. Wow, another decade beginning, and we're doing the same thing that we've always done. Just tell the truth about it, and it's not going to be accepted. It is not. Last night's webcast was kind of hard for some of you. Some of you misunderstood it already. I think you need to listen to it a second and maybe third or fourth or fifth time, maybe to gain an understanding of why I do what I do. I don't think I need to explain it that much. You guys know the drill. You guys know where I'm coming from. I've said it for years. I said, you got to see what's coming down the pike. And what I mean by that is you got to be spiritually aware of what has taken place in the church today. Now, let's talk about that as we get into part two. And of course, part two of this, I've already put it up on the website. What is it? Why differ unto separation anyway? Why should we as Christians? a lot of people asking, the question in Christianity, stand up, ask that, why can't we get along? Well, this ain't no Rodney King thing. All right. I'm old school Christian. I don't know about me getting along with another denomination or another group of people that fundamentally disagrees with what I know the Bible says. No, we're not going to be getting along. We're not dialoguing into discourse or nothing. Anything like that. I would rather find myself. Okay, listen. I want to start off this webcast with an adamant statement. I would rather find myself in China, in Nigeria, somewhere with a group of Christians living in a hut running for their lives than to be associated with someone that would deny the word of God in order to bring about peace amongst people that have never suffered anything for Christ in the first place. American Christianity is the worst example of what the faith has to offer. Have I lived too long? I can't believe that I'm making these statements. This is what we've come to. Is it about our beautiful sanctuaries? Is it about our ministries? Is it about our money, our things, our belief systems? Is it about us arguing against each other? It's like I said on the last webcast, I'm saved. Are you? Hey, good if you are. If you're not, hey, whatever. Oh, my goodness. I have a theme scripture that I want to start off with today, and it's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Now, I hope you don't take this scripture out of context, because I don't want you to do that. As a matter of fact, I think what I'll do is I'll read a little bit ahead. Let me go on ahead of that verse. Verse 7, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, therefore, the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Now, how do we as Christians today hear the voice of God? We hear the voice of God through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is saying the same thing that the Word of God says. Spirit of God is not saying one thing to you and another thing to me. No. That would make him an idiot. That's simple deductive logic. That's not an argument on a slippery slope. God ain't saying nothing different to me today than he said to a Christian yesterday, to a Christian 2,000 years ago. He ain't changing the writ because he's immutable. And immutability is something that God is. God cannot change. I believe it's in the same book of Hebrews. He says, I'm the Lord and I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, forevermore. All right, he speaks about that in the Old Testament also. I don't change. He's immutable. It's impossible for God to change. God's not changing because of American so-called Christianity. That's a lie. He ain't changing. He's never changing. If you don't like it, he don't care. If I don't like it, he definitely don't care. He's not concerned about what I like and what I agree with. Hold on one second. Let's see who this is calling me. Okay, let's see. Hello?
Hey, how you doing, PJ?
Man, I'm doing fine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Seiko calling from Houston. Seiko, I was just doing the second webcast this morning, and I figured you'd call me. My brother, I hope that you are encouraged.
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing this morning?
Man, I am doing fantastic. I was just thinking, what has happened to decent thinking Christians who used to discern? Seiko, it's gone, man. It's gone, man. It's completely gone. And I am outraged at a church, because when I listened to that blogcast, I was outraged, not only because I knew that they were speaking about you and wouldn't even mention my name, because I called that joker and he didn't call me back.
Right.
See?
Right.
But the way they look, I want you to be encouraged, my brother, because this is the way they take out the guy that is going to stand up for the word alone, man. See, this is what we're confronted with today. And I've been saying it a long time. Stand alone. Because if you're looking for somebody to stand with you, these people are looking for peace and happiness, and nobody wants to suffer.
I try to ask the question, and really ask it and answer the question that they placed on the radio blog. Let me just preface my point just real quick.
Go ahead.
First of all, I have no problem with you. I can send you a copy of the email, because the reason why I really believe that according to Scripture, that email that I shared with Brother Youssef needs now to be publicly displayed before the body of Christ universally, is because this ministry, stand-up ministry, placed me in a position to where now they want to question my ministry. He basically attacked my family, and he attacked me as a person. Now, I don't really care about you attacking me as a person, because that's fine. But when you start attacking a ministry or attacking my family, that has absolutely nothing to do with a personal matter that you had with me that you refused to resolve. And I'm talking about the founder of Stand Up Ministry, Tim Butler. Since it was public, I can expose it publicly according to Scripture. So I asked several times on that radio broadcast for them to read the email, since I was accused of being called arrogant, being called rude, and basically trying to justify themselves by saying, since I have never met Brother Youssef personally supposed to speak with him and never talked with him, which was a lie because I was there at his confirmation, Brother Tim Butler's confirmation. So I spoke with the brother Youssef just in brief. But I don't see a biblical qualification where a timeline has to be reached before I confront and confront error or sin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever error comes up, it is to be addressed immediately. And when the error comes up and the brother that is attempting to defend it, see, this is what outrages me. When you attempt to defend error without a scriptural basis, that is erroneous. And you see, this getting along to get along is ridiculous.
It is
exactly what Satan wants to happen because it totally discredits Christ. You know, it's like Youssef's question. No one's been able to answer that question for him. Wait a minute, it contradicts the immutability of our Lord. And since the Lord has been contradicted, he is no longer to be listened to. You see, this is what makes this dangerous. Now, the personal attacks have to come because I've been personally attacked over the years.
Right.
And I expect them to personally attack you, especially if you are putting forth these kinds of ideas out there in the world of ideas for people to listen to. It isn't about tearing down anybody's ministry. I don't have anything for anybody to tear down. I think people are going to independently listen to whomever they wish. But the serious point here, Seiko, and I don't think I wouldn't waste my time with these people because it's like I said on my webcast. I said, I'm not going to quit stand up ministry. I'm going to let Tim tell me and he can listen to this second one. He has to tell me, John, I don't think that you are any longer able to da da da, and then I'll say thank you for the time that I was with you. But I'm not going to quit him. I want him to quit me, and then I want them to do a broadcast and tear me down and tell me that I'm not right. I think it's shameful. This Youssef guy, I don't know what his motives are, but if the motive is truth, we cannot agree with something that is unbiblical. It doesn't make you evil, Seiko, because you are telling the truth about what God's word says. I think that the church is easily taking on this slippery slope mentality with what we believe, because if you can believe the things that I heard on stand-up, and Tim needs to, oh gosh, that brother is looking for friends in the wrong places, man.
Right.
That's all I can say, man. Just looking for friends in the wrong places. I'm going to, well, at that particular point, my phone conversation with Seiko had come to an end. Seiko called while I was doing the webcast on yesterday, January the 4th. I had an emergency and was called out of the office and have been gone ever since. It is now January the 5th, and I thought that what I do is post the entire discourse, the letter that really gives what Pastor Woods said to this other guy. And so I'll place the post up since it's out there in the World Wide Web and let you guys see that for yourself. And also, I don't want you guys to think that myself and Seiko has conjured this up to try to take stand-up down. It's not about that. Let me give it to you in the real, because see, everybody's always trying to get stuff on me in the first place. And so I think I'll put a little bit about myself out there. You know, I want to do a lot of things. I want to do a lot of things that I have no business doing. Why? Because the Bible tells me that I can't do it. I'm just truthful about who I am. I've always been that kind of a transparent kind of guy. If it has something to do with immorality, God forbid, I don't even want y'all to know about that. But my mind don't always take me in the right places where it should go. My mind takes me somewhere else where I have no business going, because the Bible plainly and discreetly tells me that I can't go there. I say, I'm the kind of guy that would tell you right up front these things. Man, I think about this. I think about I want to do this. And every time I get to the brink of wanting to do that, I don't do it. Why don't I do it? Because the Bible says, thou shalt not. Now, let me share something with you. I may not like what the Bible says. Hear my argument. I may not like it. As a matter of fact, I may tell God in my arguing with him, I don't like that because I like this and you telling me that I shall not, but I want that. So you a hard case God. But that doesn't change God's mind because of the way I feel. God's not involved in my feelings. He's not involved in my trying to come to some libertarian point of view about his word. I may even admit to myself, okay, and say, let me choose a sexual thing, a whoremongerish disposition. John, you have the attributes of a whoremonger because of the way you look at certain sexual appetites that you have. That is what I have. I own up to that. That is what my flesh is. That is what my flesh does. I admit to that. I'm not going to lie about it. I know me. Now, you can walk the tightrope of success all you want to. I'm just telling you about me. That's the kind of cat I am. I've always been that way. And I think that's why here recently some people have been telling me, you know why people come to you? Because you're transparent, brother. You right there. See, I hide nothing. Now, I'm not going to tell you about all the sin in my life because you'd hate my dirty guts. Just like I'd probably hate yours. That's when the self-righteous spew comes up in us. You know, we're so holy because we'd never do that. But I'm quite sure, my dear sister or brother, there's something else that you would possibly do that you don't want the rest of the church to find out about. Well, I got some news for you. God already knows it. God already knows it. I'm saying all this because I don't hook up with Seiko to come against nobody. Well, let's come against them because la-di-da-di. That's petty. In the weirdest form, the church been doing that game. That's why I've about had it with organized religion, because that's what organized religion does. They look for something in your life to condemn you for. And I won't even get into the scripture about the mote and the beam, because you already know that, don't you? We know our Bibles, don't we? But we so conveniently use that scripture to satisfy something in us. Now, let's say that I revealed something to somebody, and here recently I have. I went to one of my best friends that I have in Christ, and I revealed something about myself to him. And I wept as I revealed it, and I said, I've come to realize this and to know this, and I can't do nothing about it, because if I lied and said that it wasn't true, then I'd be lying. You know what my brother told me? This is what my brother told me. He said, John, I know that about you. Hang in there till the end, man. Hang in there, because God said he will carry this thing through to the end. Now, you see what transparency gives you? When you're a Christian and you tell another Christian, maybe even something that's negative, and that Christian tells you that that negative thing that you just told them is not of God, you've got to affirm what that other Christian told you. You've got to affirm that. With that affirmation comes the conclusion that God is going to carry it through to the end. Now, let's handle this issue here, because you can go to my website and see the Seiko letter. It's up as you listen to this webcast, and some of you have been asking for part two. Hey, I got some other issues that I'm dealing with in my personal life right now Not the kind of things that make me want to step down. I want to step down from ministry. I want to get out of this altogether. I don't like, because what the church is revealing to me is my God, people, all you got to do is affirm the word of God. Affirm the word. I don't know why that's so hard. Every single time, wait a minute, every single time something comes up about something that shake some of you people from your faulty foundation in the first place because you're putting your trust in men. I've been telling you for years, if you're listening to people that haven't done the study and the work, by what authority do they speak? James 3:1 is the adamant verse that I'm going to ascribe to. Don't let many of you be teachers. Some of you have no business trying to teach anything. You don't know anything. And then when you hear a dude like me, transparent, and look, I've always been this way as a Christian. Yes, I'm a vulgar man. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize to you for my vulgarity. I'm not going to apologize for you for my forthrightness. I've been that way my whole Christian life. No, I do not feel guilty. And no, I will not allow anybody that calls himself a Christian to judge me by the way I tell you God's truth. No, I refuse to listen to you. Just like you should refuse to listen to me. As long as you're telling God's truth, the style that I tell. Listen. Got all them guys. Well, a great number of them came together to write the Holy Scriptures. Let me just use the first four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the Synoptic Gospels, you find some of them writing about the very same thing in a different fashion. God allows that. And God allows me to tell you his truth in the fashion that I do it. Doesn't give you the right to get your jaws tight at me. Doesn't give you the right to get mad at Pastor Seiko. Doesn't give you the right to get mad at Tim Butler if he's telling the God's honest truth. I've heard Tim Butler tell the truth many times on stand-up ministry, and I've affirmed him. I've done Bible studies on that ministry. But it doesn't give some of you the right to attack me because I'm telling the truth about what Tim said was wrong. What Yusef said was wrong. And, you know, your affection for these people means nothing. If I say something, listen, I can tell you something. I sin from time to time in my life. That's not wrong. That's right. I sin. I told the truth. I admit it. But because I told you I sinned from time to time, it doesn't make that right. My sinning is wrong. Do you understand that? Now, since I can tell myself that I'm wrong, and if I say something to you and you pick it up, you're supposed to tell me I'm wrong. It ain't about us getting along. Oh, Hades, no. You will affirm that you are wrong. Let me go back to my illustration. Let's say that I have tendencies that are unbiblical. These tendencies, let's say that they're gay tendencies, or tendencies to be a lesbian, or come on, another one, tendencies to steal, tendencies to lie. You can have those tendencies and those drives and all that kind of stuff. You can have it. They're yours. You can own them. It may be your battle for the rest of your ever-loving days, but you ain't got no business living that out with nobody. No, you do not. You cannot live that out. If you live it out, you're wrong. We would agree with that, right? Yes, sure we would. Now, why is it that when a brother or sister misuses and misquotes scripture, we have them so high up on a plateau that we can't say that they're wrong? See, that's what happened with the MacArthur tweak. See, and that's why I'm just going to leave that on my website because I think it's extraordinary that people are almost paying homage to this guy. And I'm still using his commentaries. I'm not throwing out the books. Books cost me money. Some invaluable tools to ministry and that man's gifted work. But when it comes to knowing Christ, I got my doubts. And I got a right to say that. And so do you. But the minute you say that somebody is not a good brother because he's pointing out something that's weird, you let me come out and teach something that is completely asinine on my website that is weird. I would expect the friends that know me the closest to check me. I don't expect them to say, John, I heard you said this. No, I tell you what I said. That's why I do webcasts. And you don't hear me quoting a lot of scripture. You want to go to a Bible study? Go to a Bible study where I quote scripture. I'm talking to you, Christian, that supposedly know scripture. And I want to help you babies out there because this is the kind of Christianity that, unfortunately, your children are going to have to face. We have this pragmatic view of the faith. Well, I don't like what this says. So in order to justify all this sin going on in the church, let me give it to you like this. I know I talk a lot, but you know what? You ain't got nothing but time on your hands. So listen to the black pastor in LA that's going to get your head right. Because he ain't trying to get your money. He ain't trying to be your dang friend. Now. And why is he doing it like this? He's doing it like this because he's battling the fool that lives in him. There is one that I want to see at the end of my life. And I hope he says to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I know that when I stand before God, I'm going to put my head down. And I said, well, what about this? This thing bugged me for all my days. And I begged you to remove that. And you never did, because you know what he said to me? He said to me, just like he said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness you made strong, John. Here we are in this new decade. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the best ideas, there's two good ideas that I had in my life in ministry. The first one was the Olivet Discourses. Whew, what a vision. And the second one was Stand Up. Because I thought that Stand Up was going to be, wow, look at this. Folk from all over the country, man, coming together with the word as a hallmark. It was amazing. Look at this, look at this. And you know what? I told Stand Up when I was there, Satan's going to try to destroy this. Satan is going to try to creep in and bring them in unawares. That's the way Satan works. He always works. When you think you got it straight, he's going to come in and mess up some stuff in such a way. And if you are not spiritually strong, you will lose your composure. That's the way Satan works. Now, those two great things, Olivet Discourses and Stand Up Ministry, they're still continuing in the minds of the person that God placed it in. When God placed the Olivet Discourse in me, it's still going through into the Word Apologetics. I haven't changed my style in all the years that I've been doing Christianity and radio and talk blogs. The only criticism that I have of Stand Up is their lack of biblical authenticity through someone that is educated enough to correct them when they get off on the wrong foot doctrinally. Doctrine is the most important thing that any ministry has to contend for. It is not the personality of the person. Personality. Tim Butler is one of the finest men that I've known in my life. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. He's a fine Christian man. He is. Now, I can be critical and give you the negative point, but that's not important. You can hear that when you listen to the blog. It's error. And when that error is pointed out, I expect Tim and everybody, even myself, to acknowledge that error. Okay, let me give it to you. Okay, let's say. See, I'm in liberal-minded Southern California, and the most liberal-minded so-called Christians are in this state. And the state of affairs that the church is in California is a mess. That's why we have so much mess happening. I understand that the gospel singer Tone, his mother died on December 28th. Now, let me tell you what the church does. See, his daddy died a few years before, and that broke his heart. Then his mother died right after Christmas and all of that. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, since Tone, has these tendencies to try to protect gay people and everything, that God is judging him. What? See, because that's the way the church thinks. No, his mother died. You know, the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That ain't got nothing to do with Tone A's response to homosexuality. Why would God kill his mother like that? God is not a vindictive deity that goes around giving tit for tat like some stupid humans. But that's the way the church sounds. And that's what the church does. See what I mean? When difficulties come in my life, and they come like a storm. And I'm telling you, and I won't go into the detail, but a storm came into my life. The first thing that I thought, listen to me, the first thing that I thought is, God must be judging me because of this or that. And guess what? I was speaking with God this morning, and I said, but you know me from the very foundation of the world. Didn't make any sense the way I was reasoning. Now, I expect you to reason in that very same way. But this kind of a mystic view that we have about God, that we can change him and what he thinks because our world appears to be what it is not. The only thing that can establish us and keep us established is the word of God. That's all. I like the way one brother put it to me this morning. I didn't stop listening to people. That's right. Stop listening to them. If you notice, when you come to my particular blogs on the site, I'm just giving you the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's all I'm giving you. Not trying to tell you how you should live, what you should do anything. Because God's going to judge us all. And you know what? In judgment seat, now, this is what he's not going to do in the judgment seat. He is not going to contradict himself. He's not going to contradict himself. Man, I wish there was a lot I could tell you people. I just wish that there was a lot that I could share with you. But, you know, I'm not going to do it. I understand one of the writers in the Bible said, you know, I can't share it now because you can't take nothing but the baby food. You can't take the meat of it. So maybe later on, as you grow up. Now, one way for you to grow up is to know this, that in your lives, in our lives, there will be situations coming up that we don't know. I don't know everything about God. I don't know everything about the Bible. I definitely don't know everything why God does what he does, but I know one thing that he won't do. He'll never contradict himself. He will never contradict himself. Now, I'm a contradiction because I'm not God. My whole life is a contradiction. I love some things in the flesh that I ain't got no business loving. I'm man enough to man up to it and tell you. I like that. God don't like that because he said it in his word. Thou shalt not like that, but I like that. And he says, thou shalt not like that, but I like that. See, now there's a paradox. There's the dilemma. Y'all better listen to me. Yeah, but you ain't got no business liking it. Don't you think I know that? But I like it. I ain't gonna lie. Well, why do you like it? I don't know. I like it. Yeah, but you're not supposed to like it. I told you I know that, but I like that. That's when I go to God and I say, God, I'm sorry for liking that. Help me not to like that. I had one brother tell me the other day, said, I know what you're talking about, man. And every day of my life, I got to go to God with my thing, just like you got to go to him with yours. Because I was coming down bad on myself. I was crying and everything. And he said, John, don't do that. The brother started crying. He said, don't do that. We all do that, man. And I'm asking him, man, how can I please him? How? And you know, this little back and forth thing amongst brothers and sisters, people, trust me, that ain't nothing. You need to get into a wrestling match with God about yourself. Because when it come, no crying, John, big cry, baby sissy. When it comes down to pleasing God, that's the ultimate thing. I talk about myself too. It comes down to pleasing God alone, not pleasing you people. I ain't trying to please you. And I hope for sure you ain't trying to please me, because you can't. It's impossible. Let me put this thing on pause. Hold up. Well, now, you'd never believe as I conclude this webcast, and I'm going to conclude it sharply, because I just got a phone call from the Dakotas from Brother Youssef. A very, as a matter of fact, enlightening phone call. It affirms a thing that I've been saying for years, that until you sit down and love, oh man, this is beautiful. Until you sit down and love someone and talk with someone, you're not going to understand who that someone is by what that someone is saying. If you don't have any love in your heart, you can't do that. I want to take the opportunity right now to say, ain't it the truth? See, my webcasts appear to be the kind that is going to rub folk the wrong way and make you think, well, I spoke with Brother Youssef a good while over the phone. And right now, he's one of the finest men that I've ever spoken to. And we had an opportunity to go over what the situation is, what the problem is, and we came to a wonderful resolve. We're not enemies at all. Nor did either of us try to convince the other that they were wrong. I'm too old as a Christian to have somebody convince me that I'm not wrong in an issue unless I'm doctrinally out of my mind. But I did share with Brother Youssef, I had some tremendous problems with some of the things that you said, and attempted to answer it in this webcast, the first one as well as the second one. So the only thing that I got to tell you is that at the end of making this webcast, it is now about 11 minutes after 3 on January the 5th, 2010, because I've had a lot of things going on here in my home today, and that I haven't had chance to finish this up. So at almost 3:30, I'm going to wrap this up and try to put this up on the internet so that you can listen to part 2. And the issue should be resolved within you on how to resolve those issues. I'm going to also put up Brother Seiko's letter so you can see everything that he said to Brother Youssef within context. I was requested to do that, and I don't know why not. So let me take care of that, and then we'll be seeing you later on. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.